along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering our show, and it is the Buckmaster Show. For this Friday, September the 18th, 2015, we're live at KVOI AM 1030, and we're streaming our show live on buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners, thank you very much to TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, all supporters of our work. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon with me in studio, Dr. Mark Stegeman is here, a member of the governing board for the Tucson Unified School District, the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. Dr. Stegeman is a University of Arizona Associate Professor of Economics, specializing in gaming theories. Joining me in studio, Mari Herreras. Mari is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and we are always delighted to have her join in our discussions, especially dealing with education. For many years, that was Mari's beat, right, Mari?
Yes, it was.
And you're still very interested.
Dr. Stegeman remembers.
Yes. The Buckmaster Live line is open at 790-2040. Dr. Stegeman always wants to hear from not only folks who live in the TUSD district, he's always anxious to hear from listeners about education in general. Isn't that correct,
Dr. Stegeman? Yes, especially the highly educated listeners of your show.
Thank you very much. The Friday, I was going to say our Facebook address, if you're interested, and we hope you are, and become a friend of our show, Bill Buckmaster. And we're now on Twitter at buckmastershow.com. We had a Twitter account for many years, and suddenly a week or so ago, Dr. Stegeman, I decided, get it active again.
Congratulations. I've never done Twitter, but maybe eventually I will capitulate.
You can tweet the meetings or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I guess it's easy. It's just I grew up in a different era.
About limiting the number of characters, right?
Right. I grew up in a different era, too. You just have to finally arrive, just so you know.
I guess so.
Mari, and thanks for coming.
I like the telegraph.
Well,
good to see you.
Me.
You know, I want to welcome you as well.
Yes.
Try to be as courteous here as possible to our folks in studio. Dr. Stegeman, you have proposed that TUSD post the immunization rates for its students on its website. There's been some resistance from some of the other board members and the superintendent. Why do you think there's a resistance to this?
I was surprised. I thought this was an obvious thing, partly because it improves transparency, partly because it's a significant public health issue, and partly because TUSD's immunization rates are actually pretty good compared to some of the competition. So you should ask them why. And I was surprised at that.
Well, may I venture into some territory here that might not be all that comfortable, but do you suppose that it might have something to do with the fact that you proposed it and they decided, well, if you proposed it, we're not going to agree with it?
I think that's possible. We had a thing, I guess a year ago, where I proposed moving the starting time of the meetings from 6:30 to 6, so it wouldn't go quite as late. And this issue prompted about 20, 25 minutes of discussion, and the board voted to reject my proposal. And then the next meeting started at 6. So not only did the board appear to be wanting an argument for the sake of argument, but didn't even respect their own action 2 weeks later. So things happen that are hard to understand. That's all.
Mari, go ahead. Jump in here.
Well, you know, I think I've always been an observer of the politics on the dais and watching how things happen. And for the last few years, it's always interesting, obviously. But right now, you're in that interesting position, as we were talking about before the show, of being a supporter, in a sense, of the special master of the ongoing, long ongoing, 40-plus year desegregation case against the district. And in this case, it involves these magnet schools and the plans. And I kind of just... Is that an odd position to be in at this point regarding the politics of TUSD and the DSEC plan?
I don't feel like my position has changed that much. There were always things I disagreed with the special master about. but I always thought he was a credible person. He's a he's an academic like me. Maybe I'm a little biased. And certainly he is the court's agent and someone the district approved of. And we should treat him with respect. And part of my concern about what's going on now is not just disagreeing with him on the substance of some issues, although I think that's gone too far, but the tone of the disagreement is really personal. And at the last meeting, it was almost like these old movies about the South where people were talking like, well, this guy from the East Coast is coming here and he doesn't understand how we do things in Tucson, and these furriners, these East Coast furriners should go back to where they came from. It was really a surprising conversation. I don't know what the point of it is. It really was, it made me uncomfortable.
What do you think of the magnet school plan now as it sits? We have these five schools, that Cholla, Ochoa, Safford. What are the other, I've got to remind myself of the other schools that are on the list. What do you think so far of their of maintaining their status as magnet schools?
Well, there's a policy question and there's a legal question. And from a policy viewpoint, I would like to fund all those programs. Mm-hmm. I think that the curriculum, the money that we spend funding curriculum, like the magnet curriculum, is some of the best spent money in the DSEG budget. But that's just if we had complete control over it. But we don't. There are legal limitations on it, and a special master plays a big role in defining those limitations, and we have to respect the constraints that we're under. The court is the law. We have to follow the law. The special master has said that the desegregation objectives are important, and even if we disagree in principle, at this point, that's not a discussion we can have. He said that's important, and I see his point. It's not bogus. But whether we agree with it or not, that's the law now. And we need to respect it instead of continually quibbling about it.
Let's go to our Buckmaster Show live line. Our first question of the day for Dr. Stegeman comes from Matthew, calling us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Stegeman, as you know, the county Board of Supervisors, it has lost a significant portion of monies because of the state reallocation. They basically have said that the county is now responsible for certain school districts, and they basically, it's like $25 to $35 million that's affected their budget. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's the state has said it will stop reimbursing homeowners for taxes above the 1% cap.
Thank you. Now, I have, you know, requested that the county board of supervisors ask the county administrator to get in touch with you guys and your board, because I believe that, you know, they're trying to fight this case in regular state court, and I believe there is an argument that this could affect the DSEG case, and I think that their lawyers need to get a briefing from you guys as to what effects the loss of funding could have on the DSEC case, and is there any room for a suit in federal court under the DSEC case to get the state to reappropriate the money back to the county? And I just would urge you guys to talk.
Okay. And, well,
I'm not saying it's legally possible, but I'm saying it's an avenue that needs to be explored, and you guys certainly are the experts on the DSEC case. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Sure. I'm not a lawyer either, so I can't speak to the legal merits, but it would be a great discussion to have. I think the state has been a little bit misleading in talking about how it's balancing the budget, and then how that's happening. Is it a bunch of spending's just being shifted down to the counties? So it's a little bit of a disingenuous discussion, and I certainly sympathize with the county's position.
Are you delighted with the school's financial situation, the district's financial situation, in light of the bond rating that just came out?
Well, I think you know the answer to that, Bill. I have had concerns for a long time about the fact that we're spending more than we're taking in. That was the concern that Yusuf Awad raised after he left a little over a year ago now. And I think the district's own data show that we spent down about $6 million of our reserves, cash reserves, last year, leaving about 12 million left, and you can't go down to zero. So no, and I'm not happy with that, and I don't think it's good and prudent fiscal management. And Moody's, I guess it was.
Yes, it's put Moody's on Investors Service affirming TUSD's A2 rating for general bond obligations. But they did assign the district a negative outlook. And interestingly, when we had Superintendent Sanchez on the show talking about this subject a month or so ago, he believes that that assignment of the negative outlook comes from Moody's actually watching the discord that goes on the board. I'm not sure if you heard that interview that I did with Dr. Sanchez, but he believes that the discord that goes on the board had a factor in this negative outlook.
I guess I would trust Moody's report to describe what was a factor, and I don't remember Moody's discussing that, but I do remember Moody's discussing the fact that they weren't sure how we were going to replenish our cash reserves. So I guess I would take Moody's word on what prompted that evaluation. But having said that, I think the discord on the board is a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whether or not Moody's was paying attention to it, I think the community is paying attention to it.
Well, we've
and
been
it's
dealing,
a problem.
The thing is, though, Mark, is that the discord of the board, I mean, this is ongoing. You know, this isn't just because there's a three-person majority now, you know, that we've had now for a couple years. This is an ongoing issue that we've been discussing for a while now, you know, and I mean, it makes for great entertainment, there's no doubt, and I enjoy tweeting about it when mm-hmm. I cover the meetings, but it's a little ridiculous. Do you see any resolution at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, are things getting better or what?
You know, I think over if you look at a 2 or 3 year horizon, I don't think it's getting better. I think the change in the board made it worse, really. I mean, there's a board member who criticizes other board members from the dais. I won't say who that is, but and I think that looks really bad. I will say I think the last couple months, maybe, it's gotten a little better, although Adelita and Mike Hicks got in almost a shouting match at the last meeting when Mike wanted to speak and Adelita didn't want him to, and that was a little awkward. But I think over the last several months, maybe it's gotten a little better. You know,
just a fraction.
A fraction. For sure. A fraction can mean a lot of things.
Of course it can.
A fraction can mean 1 out of 100.
Right, it's very subjective, I'm sure. Let's take the break right here.
Okay.
We're going to return with Dr. Mark Stegeman on The Buckmaster Show. And today's music, the bumper music, the intermission music, is from the 60s. We do that on Friday. And today it's early Van Morrison. Go ahead, Tom.
You can take all the tea and china, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail right round all the seven oceans, drop it straight into the deep blue sea. She's as sweet as Tupelo.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your
eyes. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. That music of Van Morrison doing Moon Dance from really early on in his career in the 60s. And if it's from the 60s, it qualifies for the Buckmaster Show Friday bumper music. And so it certainly made it into the show. Van Morrison, late great. Of course, he's still around. The great, drop the late. We've got Dr. Mark Stegeman with us. Dr. Stegeman is a member of the TUSD Governing Board, and Mari Herreras, who is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, is also with me. Has there been a retreat of late where all the board members get together, say on a Saturday, and just talk about everything? It doesn't have to be a Saturday. I guess it could be during the week, but folks are pretty busy during the week, but maybe just to kick back and everybody just kind of air out the grievances.
Hug it out, maybe?
Yeah.
No, we haven't had one since Dr. Sanchez became superintendent. There was one scheduled, I think, in early 2014, and it got replaced by some other event.
Would you be willing to sit down over coffee with any board member?
I'm always willing to, and I have tried to do that with our two new board members, two newer board members, and for a couple of years, the answer has been no, generally. I mean, Cam Juarez sat down with me to discuss the internal auditor situation, as we know, and that didn't work out, but I appreciated the discussion. But with that exception, those two board members have been unwilling to sit down with me for a couple of years.
Would you like to invite them to do that right now?
I would like to invite them again to do that, as I have in the past.
All right, Mari.
You know, the recent issues at Palo Verde, and I think over a year ago, we wrote about Tucson High School's own security issues based on budget changes that had taken place mm-hmm. within the mm-hmm. force security at the school. Are you troubled? Is there an overall concern regarding how these issues are being handled at the school? Are there proposals for changes that you see on the horizon to handle the any worries that parents have of their kids in the district?
I don't know enough about the specific situation at Palo Verde to comment. And, I think I'll just take a pass on that till I feel better informed. I think generally climate is a big issue in the district. I've said that many times. I think we lose more kids, and we've been losing kids every year for the last 12, 13 years because of climate issues than any other issue. And that is parents are concerned about bullying. They're concerned about their kids' safety, or they're concerned about crazy environments in the classroom. So that's a broad comment, but I don't feel position to speak about Palo Verde specifically.
Is it Sunnyside that's now using some city police officers?
Yeah. Right.
Is that anything like that going on at TUSD?
Well, the city got last year, I think it was, a grant to refund some school resource officers, and we are getting some of those, or got some of those. So yes, there is some of that, and I certainly supported that, and I appreciate that. That was really an initiative came from the city, and I appreciated that. I think that's great.
It is a deterrent, isn't it, to have a cop on campus?
I think there's an element of deterrence, and I think the policemen, if they come in with the proper attitude and training, can play a very positive role. I mean, it's called a school resource officer, not a school cop, and I think that person can be a useful resource for helping kids.
Some people said, though, that, you know, Tucson High in particular, with another level of security, which were just civilian folks who would reach out to the kids, keep in tune with them.
The monitors.
That was super effective in many different ways. And I can imagine could actually be even more positive than necessarily having uniformed folks and walk in the halls.
Well, the difference with the school resource officers is someone else is paying for it, which, of course, is a big issue for us. But there was a big controversy at Tucson High about the monitors and the monitor liaisons, which is a special position that they had at Tucson High. And there was some conflict that developed with the principal. And so that became a very complex issue. And I don't think I want to weigh in on one side or the other of that, partly because I wasn't at the site watching it, but there were some personality conflicts as well as policy conflicts, and it was something Tucson High was doing that the other schools weren't necessarily doing, and so there were questions about that. So I don't want to be ducking the question, but
I'll give you a question.
I'm not well positioned to comment very much on that specific situation. I agree in principle, probably a counselor is better than a cop. But having both is not a bad thing. And as I say, the police, the school resource officers are being provided by the city.
All right. 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. What about the search for the internal auditor? Is that a decision coming on that very soon?
There was a big announcement that the superintendent was going ahead with that, which I appreciated, and they did get a field of candidates. And the audit committee itself rejected them as not as qualified as they wanted, and I think that was legitimate. I mean, it was the guys that I trusted on the audit committee agreed with that. But after that first round of candidates, then things seemed to die a little bit, and I think that after the public attention went down, the momentum went down too. And so I hope we do that. I still think that's important. And I hope that we put a little more push into it in terms of recruiting and maybe in terms of the compensation.
But right now it's kind of backburnered?
It seems like it's been backburnered, yeah. And that's one reason I really wanted a policy. You know, if you have a policy behind something, then it gives it more force and more permanence. But so I hope, with or without a policy, that gets some momentum back.
Mari?
We were talking in break about the series of emails that we all sometimes get, and those in the media as well, from TUSD whistleblowers, or whatever they're calling themselves at different times, right? Often the center of those emails is the superintendent, H.T. Sanchez. And I'm curious what your take is in terms of H.T. Sanchez kind of being molded in these emails as the big evil that faces TUSD and all its horrible, every bad thing that's happening to the district is to blame. The superintendent is to blame.
I've never made any public comment about those. I honestly don't know who's behind those emails. I don't really want to know who's behind those emails. I'll just say I think they've made some good points, and they've made some things I don't agree with in that. And I think obviously the persons writing those have a viewpoint, and sometimes, usually there's two sides to an issue, and sometimes the other side isn't there. But it's no secret that I have concerns about a number of things that are going on myself.
Right. Back in Judy Burns' day, the late Judy Burns, there was always a lot of criticism that the board was a micromanaging board, and that the district supervisor didn't get enough leeway to run the district. And do you think any of that has changed in terms of considering that what we see on the dais and when we talk about the fighting that takes place?
Well, I think the fighting doesn't produce much micromanaging. I think what the fighting does is make the board ineffective and less likely to be micromanaging. I think, and I'm not making any comment about specific administration, but I think people who have long history with TUSD understand that when there's a conflict on the board, that can help the staff because it basically disables the board and leaves the staff free. I think I have not myself, since I've been on the board, seen a lot of micromanaging compared to the stories I've heard about the past, where board members were in people's offices all the time. I never go into administrators' offices. I've never done that once. But I think there is a micromanagement issue in the district, and I've said this before. I think that the central administration overmanages the sites, and I think especially on budget the last year and the budgets that they're operating under now, the sites had basically no discretion, and the discretion has been shrinking since Dr. Fagan left. John tightened the reins, and this administration has tightened them further, and I think the principals are in almost a straitjacket budget-wise, and I think that Central should back off a little bit.
All right. Dr. Mark Stegeman with us. He'll be waiting for a call this afternoon from other board members to get together for a coffee or a retreat of
maybe
some kind.
A bonfire, s'mores.
Yeah, actually, yes. I've got some time this afternoon before
really?
I go to the Borderlands show tonight.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're going to the Borderlands
show,
are
tonight,
you?
Yes.
Well, you're expecting no trouble, huh? You're gonna
I'm expecting to enjoy it.
Good. I'm sure you will.
Okay, Dr. Stegeman, thank you very much. I hope you have a great afternoon and evening, and good luck with your work, not only at the University of Arizona, but at TUSD.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Mari, stick around. Let's bring in Dylan Smith. Right now, Van Morrison.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, my brown eyed girl.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Bruce Beat.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
John Kaiser.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Vino.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Sleuths.
I thought I just saw you.
Casey Polipchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're
Bert Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Mike Truba.
I know Mike, Executive VP, Commerce Bank of Arizona. Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday political face-off with commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, plus a newsmaker interview with Arizona's Attorney General Mark Brnovich. That's during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts in our archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. To the Buckmaster Show. Van Morrison, Van the Man, doing some 60s bumper music. And joining us now, Dylan Smith. Mr. Smith is the editor, publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com, and he joins Mari Herreras, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, for the portion of the hour we call the Friday Roundtable. Dylan, how was your week?
Great. Somewhat busy, fairly yeah. Busy news week, especially yeah. With the culmination of the SunTran strike.
Your reporter, Blake Morlock, who writes for you, what are you laughing about that he's not? What?
No, I'm his name. I like it.
Oh, okay.
Blake gave his take.
Blake, yes. Yeah, gave his take on the headline, Secret Deal to End the Bus Strike Only Raises More Questions. That was published, I believe, yesterday. And then today, the union sent out, they gave out some of the, in a news release, some of the details. What do we know about this deal?
Well, it's a 2-year deal. Uh-huh. We knew that Wednesday, but now we finally know a little bit more about how much it's going to cost. It's basically going to run about $1.6 million more than the deal that was on the table when the Teamsters walked off the job when they rejected the SunTran offer. So it's about $4.36 million over those 2 years is the boost in the total value of the contract. A lot of that is going towards pay raises, which range from 30 cents an hour to $5 an hour for some of the workers. And we don't know yet really the details of how that breaks down with the pay scales, who gets what sort of raise.
Why would we not get all the details?
Well, SunTran is in an interesting situation. It's run by a private company, so they don't have to be responsive to public records requests. The Teamsters are a union. They don't have to be responsible. And neither of those parties have to provide all of the details to the folks at the city, because who then would have to tell us whatever they know is going on. And right now, the folks at the city don't know a whole lot more than we know right now. There's supposed to release a few more details about how much they know about it today. We're still waiting for that to get sent out to all the reporters in town who've been asking them for the last several days. So it's not quite a completely secret deal anymore. We do know a little bit more, but you know, we're still waiting and asking more questions.
The timing, do you think, had anything to do, Mari, with the city election?
Of course it does. Of course. Of course it does. I know, you know, Ortega's been pretty given obvious. A lot of credit for going in and arranging this. And I talked with Steve Kay today earlier about, you know, the grumblings in terms of transparency and hey, what's to hide here? And supposedly he's made overtures to Ortega and Rankin, who say they haven't seen anything. Hard to believe, but that's what he supposedly has been told. And that, yeah, he's in agreement to push toward, you know, the fact that Teamsters, PTM, should have had the agreement posted. It should be online for everyone to peruse.
We still certainly have not seen a copy of the contract. And SunTran hasn't put anything out at all other than their statement Wednesday night that, yeah, right. We settled. Right. And that's really all that we've been able to get from them. Yeah.
Early voting starts very soon, doesn't it, for the election?
I believe it's October 8th.
Yeah.
When early voting starts. And speaking of that, this is kind of a different city election than we have run in the past few cycles. It's no longer going to be vote by mail based mm-hmm. because it's being combined with the county bond election. So it's going back to early voting if you're on the early voting list or showing up at the polls.
Going to be a very interesting election. You've got the bond questions, the seven bond questions. You've got three incumbents up in the city. You've got several charter change items are also on the ballot. A
couple of charter changes. You've got the red light camera
issue. The red light camera issue.
You've got also the potential pay raise for mayor and council on the ballot as well.
What's your take on the red light issue, Dylan?
You know, there's nobody who's taking a firm stand that, yes, we need to keep these cameras. No. And I think in the absence of anybody who's willing to put their political neck on the line to say that, you know, really the idea that we need to hand out more traffic tickets isn't really popular with anyone.
No, and I think every time it has come up on the ballot in Arizona, it has it's won. In other words, won to get rid of the...
Yeah. There are, cameras. You know, the police keep putting out some pretty, what seem to me to be pretty solid stats that these cameras do reduce the number of accidents mm-hmm. at those intersections
yeah.
Quite significantly, you know, beyond any sort of margin of error. It's been a, you know, made those places safer. Mm-hmm. But whether that is going to be anything that resonates with voters who, you know, either they got a ticket themselves or somebody they know got a ticket or they just don't like the idea of getting tickets. I mean, who among us really likes that? I don't.
We had, to get off the election for a little bit, Mari, we had one of your contributors, David Safir, on the show mm-hmm. yesterday. He writes about education, blogs about it on your column, The Range, at TucsonWeekly.com. And we had a very interesting half hour talking about this infighting that's going on among...
the Board of Education.
The Board of Education. Three elected top leaders in Arizona, the governor, the state treasurer, and Diane Douglas. A lot of bickering going on, especially the state treasurer does not like Governor Ducey's plan to get into the state trust fund to fund education. Then you have Diane Douglas, who's at war with the State Board of Education, lawsuits going back and forth. You can't make this stuff up. I mean,
it has gotten so convoluted that you need some sort of like a diagram or a whiteboard that you keep scribbling on to follow all of the players involved. They don't like this week.
And the Tucson Weekly, your little graphic that accompanied David Safir's column was very appropriate, showing a cage boxing match going on. So, I mean, Diane Douglas has put forth, which seems like a pretty decent idea. She says Arizona needs to add $400 million to its K-12 funding right away.
And she says that is in addition to the billion-plus dollars that the state has shorted schools, at least according to a judge who said that money needs to be paid. And that that tab keeps going up all the time. It should have been paid off a year ago almost, and we haven't paid a dime towards that.
I find it's interesting in terms of when she first got elected and we were like, what did we do again? This position, wonderful position.
Because she didn't really have a lot of experience,
right,
other than being on the Peoria, Arizona school board. Her opponent had all sorts of education experience.
Oh, yeah.
Dr.
But
Garcia.
She probably has hero status be coming up pretty soon, taking on the Board of Education and Doug Ducey just being so in love with her. And I could see, songs about Corridos, about Diane Douglas coming up pretty soon.
Doug Ducey did get kudos from Fortune magazine. They had a really nice for the Ducey, liking what he's been doing with the trust fund, his proposal and all that. So I did want to throw that out there because there are some folks that think he's doing a great job.
The state treasurer would not be one, at least as far as that proposal goes.
Mr. DeWitt. Mr. DeWitt is not a big fan right now of Doug Ducey.
DeWitt thinks that we should spend down a little bit of the principal that's in that fund, and but not nearly as much as Ducey has proposed to do. DeWitt says we would be, really chewing through a lot of capital long term if we do that.
Mm-hmm.
The Border Patrol wants more agents, at least the chief of the union, which kind of makes sense because, he's the head of the union.
And he wants more, Border Patrol union jobs and more pay, more overtime. That's his job, to advocate for Border Patrol agents to get them great working conditions and great jobs.
And he is saying that there has been a shift in strategy by the criminal cartels, the groups, and it's becoming a much more hazardous profession to be in the Border Patrol, and they just really need more manpower now to deal with the cartels.
We've been looking at the statistics about confrontations and injuries, especially injuries to BP agents, and there hasn't been a huge change in that over the years, especially considering that lately the number of people who are crossing the border has dropped significantly. I would like to see on what basis they're claiming that it is a more dangerous job. Maybe the individual people that they run into are more dangerous now because they might be running into a greater percentage of smugglers than just ordinary migrants who are trying to find a better life in this country. You might be able to say that, but I don't know that it's more people.
I don't think the scare tactics work anymore, Bill, and we can continue to hear that from all different facets of folks, including the union head of the Border Patrol. But what Dylan is saying is correct. We're seeing deficits in all areas of border violence, crossing over. There haven't been any fictional heads in the desert discussions in a while either. So I think we're good.
Dylan and Mari, I'm curious about this report that came out concerning women and children that are now being held in immigration detention facilities, that they be released immediately. That was the findings of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. So what does that mean?
It's something that Congress can take it or leave it. And
this is not an order to immediately release the
The Civil Rights Commission is an advisory body. It's a nonpartisan group that's set up by Congress. It's not part of the Obama administration. It's actually a sort of a creature of Congress to go dig into things and report back on civil rights issues. And they say that what we're doing when we detain these immigrants, the families, you know, and kids, that the conditions they are in are deplorable, and we shouldn't be doing it. And you know, whether the Obama administration can use this as a sort of a lever or some political cover to take some actions on their own, that's a possibility. One of the other things that the Civil Rights Commission says that we need to do is end the mandate that we have 34,000 beds occupied by detained migrants every night in mostly...
How many thousand?
34,000.
The problem with
that's
that
a requirement
is that most
that we
of those
pay
are
these
having,
private prisons to
right.
do this.
We've seen this happening in Arizona where we have this... We've become basically a teat for the private prison industry, and it's great success in
the
state.
Prison warehouse industry.
Yeah, and private prisons have been a partner with ICE in meeting that mandate. It's
the unusual thing about that mandate is it's not that the government will pay for 34,000 people to be housed every night. It's that we have to house 34,000
right.
people. So if the number of people coming across has dropped, as it is, we actually need to hold on to these people longer rather than try and figure out what the resolution to their case is, whether they get deported or whether they are all eligible for some sort of refugee status or other status.
Wow. Well, the Pope is going to be making a historic speech to Congress, and there will be one congressperson who will not be there, and he's from Arizona. Representative Gosar has decided... he is a Republican from Prescott, and he's decided that he will not be at the event because of the Pope's position on what he calls false science of climate change.
And this is somebody who is, the congressman is actually a Catholic, and he's going to skip this address by the Pope.
Well, I'm sure that will not go over very well with his local parish, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, who knows with the local
parish?
There's been a whole lot
of amusing commentary going on Facebook on this story, and it's...
people have been wondering, do we actually have a congressman named Gosar? Some of the comments.
He's not, especially here in Southern Arizona, he's not a headline name.
Lower visibility here in Southern Arizona.
It's certainly within his right to skip the speech to make a point. We've seen that, frequently with other people who go to Congress to make speeches in various parties.
That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. He's going to do it. All right. Thanks very much, Dylan and Mari. Hope you both have a great weekend.
You too.
All right.
Thanks.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's coming up next. Now, Van Morrison.
I can tell about my baby. Lord, you know she comes around. Struck by feet, boom. Right from her head down to the ground.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event. For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce
an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Time for Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist. Weekend Watch is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, 3 hours east of Tucson. What a beautiful time of year, mid to late September. If you're thinking about a nice kind of early autumn road trip, this is it. You get those golden aspen trees turning that golden color up in the high country of Silver City. Really pretty time of year to be over there. Great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat. You can find out about all the places to stay and things to do by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now on the live line, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. TGIF.
We talk a lot on Weekend Watch about beer and wine. Let's start with beer.
Absolutely. You know, tonight is the big night for fans of local craft beer, Bill. It's the fourth annual Born and Brewed Tucson's Beer Cup in the plaza of the Hotel Congress, and it starts at 7 p.m. Now, 10 of our community's brewers are going to be serving up their suds and asking for your vote as they collectively pursue the coveted People's Choice Award. Now, there'll be a Judge's Choice Award as well, with live music and light snacks. And I'm going to be officially the MC for the evening. Now, a few advance tickets are still available at hotelcongress.com. I don't know about you, Bill, but I'm ready for a beer.
I bet you are. You'll be doing quite a bit of sampling of the suds tonight, I'm sure. Hey, it's a Bear Down Friday, guy.
Yeah, if you'd rather bear down instead of beer down tonight, head over to Main Gate Square at 5 o'clock for Bear Down Friday, the official pep rally in advance of tomorrow's U of A football game. The Pride of Arizona marching band is going to be there, of course, with Wilbur and Wilma. Lots of family activities. And while you're down there, I say grab a huge slice of pizza and no anchovies, with bacon, of course, and get ready to root the Cats on to victory. It's Bear Down Friday at Main Gate Square.
Hey, it'd be a great weekend in the high country up at Ski Valley at Mount Lemmon.
Absolutely. Can you believe, Bill, October is right around the corner, and to me that means Bavarian bratwursts and German beer, music and dancing, and a 20-degree drop in temperature at Oktoberfest at Ski Valley up on Mount Lemmon. Now, this weekend kicks off the four-weekend-long celebration of all things German, and it's been a Russell family tradition since my kids were, well, kids, and they both tell me that my version of the chicken dance is the stuff of legend. Grab your lederhosen and head up to Mount Lemmon for Oktoberfest all day Saturday and Sunday.
There's a beer connection there in two of your three, two of the three weekend picks. How about the Inside Tucson Business column?
Yeah, you know, Niles Crane from the hit TV show Frasier once said about caviar, it's like being kissed by a lusty mermaid. And I sat down with a local restaurateur to find out what it is about caviar that makes it so exotic. The whole story is in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. Did I really just say that online?
Yeah, you did. Have a great weekend, Matt. Thank you so much. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the contents of our show. Our thanks to our friends here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, our KVOI team, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, just to name a few, and of course, Rosemary Brandt, who is part of the Buckmaster Communications team, making sure we get all those podcasts up for you every afternoon. Thanks to all. On behalf of all of us, have a great weekend. See you Monday at 12:04.